Push out the back theater, figgity phantom. The haters, I make them madder when I wave at them like, what up?
Shedrick Muhammad.
About money, I keep going. I'm trying to get that green, trying to move my lawn, but them boys, I got a shotty on my arm. If them boys run up, I leave their bodies on the lawn. And the out of there, cause baby, it's out of there. If this was a movie, it's time to roll the credits. Cut! It's all over, all of your brains is all over the
motherfucking Shedrick Muhammad.
Rock. I'm a motherfucking rock.
Shedrick Muhammad.
Body equals 317 shots. Night vision, double clip, hot, steady beam, clock, pop. Drop, little man, drop. This is not for little man or fox. I'm laying in the drop, thinking of more money, cash money, young money, take money, your money.
You're tuned into the watch, man. Shedrick Muhammad on the Black Coffee Channel.
Shedrick Muhammad.
Now it's time to fly.
I thought they knew it was really real, daddy. Yeah. Homeboy. My motherfucking wristband was $300. No lie.
Shedrick Muhammad.
They should pay me for saying that. So is my jeans. They wasn't $300, but they
said Shedrick Muhammad.
Yeah. We won, motherfucker. We win in Mobile. That's right.
Hey,
Shedrick Muhammad. Go ahead and tell him pull up front. Open the doors, full saddle. Let's ride out. You got money, you know.
Shedrick Muhammad.
If you don't, keep thinking. If you can do that. Losing streak is going up. Why? Cause we here. And I'm just like that. Straight up.
Shedrick Muhammad.
I'm talking about the Forbes list of the world's 100 most powerful women, and joining us now is the woman who helped decide who made it and who didn't on that list. She's Forbes editorial director and head of Forbes Woman, Carol Heimowitz. And Carol, thanks so much for stopping by, talking about this list, which I'm sure is always always gets a lot of buzz. Angela Merkel, again, for the fourth year in a row on the top of your list, but you put Carol Bartz of Yahoo on the cover of your magazine. Why is that?
She's in a very important job right
she's
now.
She's number 12, by the way. Just
number 12.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know what's going to happen to Yahoo. She was brought in to turn it around. And so she's not only a woman of power, but a woman to watch, because we want to know what's going to happen there. She's also the first woman in business to run a second large public company.
Mm. Well, why didn't you put her up higher then?
Well, we do rankings based on spend money they control, either in a company or in their country. Angela Merkel runs a country that has the fourth largest economy in the world, so she surpasses Carol Bartz's span with wealth, and also influence, visibility, how much they're being listened to, heard in the media.
Okay, I want to go through some of the women that have been new or are new on your list. You've got Michelle Obama, could understand that, of course.
Right.
Mary Shapiro, Sonia Sotomayor, the prime ministers of Bangladesh and also Iceland.
Right.
Were these the subjects of any vigorous debate as to why or why not they should be on this list?
Not really, because we're doing it not as a personality thing, but and it's not about celebrity. It's really this metric that we watch. We look at the numbers. What is the size of their country, their GDP, or the size of their company in terms of revenues in comparison to their title, and also the number of media hits they're getting.
But you're also talking about current influence. I mean, that's not exactly tangible. How do you gauge that?
Okay, number 75 on our list is Queen Rania. She is probably the most listened to woman in the Mideast. She's got 600,000 followers on her Twitter. So we do gauge all those numbers. We do it. We look at a lot of numbers.
Okay, and judging by that, some of the notable fall-offs, of course, you've always got to talk about them. Carly Fiorina, Condi Rice, Meg Whitman. I'm wondering why you didn't put Valerie Jarrett on this list. I'm sure you get a lot of emails from people saying, why didn't you put this person on?
Very hard to sometimes. She's not controlling an actual agency where we can do a numerical figure. Just because a woman isn't on the list, though, doesn't mean she's not influential.
Okay.
I mean,
and the reason for, obviously, Condi Rice, but Meg Whitman as well?
Meg Whitman is between jobs. We're watching her. She's certainly a woman of influence out there. She left eBay. Now she's running for governor of California. Let's see. We're going to see what happens.
And just to sum it up, anything that you've noticed this time around that's changed from last year?
Yes. Women are moving rapidly. They are zigzagging across companies, industries, between public and private. They're not staying in the same place. That's how they're getting ahead.
Okay. Carol, thanks so much for joining us.
Angela Merkel, of Germany. That take a look at her. See, you can see Deutsch. I used to live in Germany. That's Frau Merkel. Frau Merkel, right? Now look at the three criteria that Forbes magazine is using. All of this relates to what we talked about earlier about Don Imus, Glenn Beck, Van Jones, Little Mama, the power of the gay, lesbian, alternative lifestyle, bisexual, transgender community, the wacktivism that exists in the black community. The three categories were span of control in terms of how much money, influence, and visibility. Now, in a chapter in my forthcoming book, I have a chapter on power, discussing your power base, how to leverage it, different forms of power, your title, your charisma, your authority, knowledge base, subordinates. The people who work underneath you are probably the most important group or constituency you would have, whether it's the people under your direct influence, people under your stewardship, or people who work for you. Employees, children, proteges. Angela Merkel, you can make a hell of an argument. She's one of the most powerful women on earth. Influence and visibility, obviously somebody like Beyonce is very powerful. You ask any young people, Beyonce has a lot of influence with young people. Oprah, obviously, tremendous. Hell, I nominate Wendy Williams. Maybe she'll make the list one of these days. Now this gets me to 50 Cent and Jay-Z. Jay-Z made somewhat rare appearance on the Bill Maher show, and 50 Cent yesterday on CNBC with Robert Greene, author of the 48 Laws of Power. 50 has a book with him called The 50th Law. As I've said before, the one thing I don't like about rappers who make these appearances on mainstream media, you see them in the suit, or you see them articulating every word properly. You see them very calm and relaxed. I just wish that the young black, Latino, white, Asian children who look up to these rappers would see them conduct themselves like that. That's my only criticism of the hip-hoppreneurs Jay-Z and 50. When they get in front of the political and the business crowd and the mainstream media, they take on attributes that I wish many of our young people could model. Composure, clear spoken words, calm demeanor, self-deprecating humor, humility. The fact that Bill Maher and CNBC get this, and yet we don't see this on BET as much, is the only criticism I would have. Wall Street doesn't need to hear the struggle of 50 Cent as much as young people. So I think 50 understands that. If you all saw any of these, let me know. I'll go with the clip of 50. This is just a piece of what he said yesterday. Very important. Listen up.
How did you guys hook up? How did Robert Greene? You and I talked years ago.
You were my very first interview, and I'll never forget it.
Are you kidding me?
He was so gentle.
He told me you scared him.
No. He was very reassuring.
I did a book. And in fact, you read that book.
Yes.
And you were impressed, and you said, let's do a book together, right?
Absolutely. That 48 Laws of Power, 33 Strategies of War.
Yep.
Art of Seduction.
Yeah.
A lot of people in hip-hop really like the 48 Laws of Power because the music industry has to be perhaps the most Machiavellian environment that there is, and they found the advice very helpful. So 50, he contacted me, and we thought it'd be really interesting to do a book together because we come from such different backgrounds, but we have a sort of a similar way of thinking. So this is the monster that we created together.
And I love the 50th law, fear nothing. I see the Latin, nihil timendum est.
Good pronunciation.
They did Latin back
then. The mess you wanted to get out that you felt Robert Greene could help you with.
Well, just his laws and the 48 laws of power, the short of the law was translating completely different. Like people who didn't actually see the significance in the research just read the short and said, okay, I understand how this applies to the actual environment. And they took that on. Like a lot of people that would make reference to Robert's first book would just make reference to the small portion of the actual law. And then it was exciting to see that I had some of the, I thought like some of these great people. Mm-hmm. You know, so to get a chance to collaborate with him and just to tell him my other thoughts and some of my experiences and have him write it from those perspectives after mm-hmm. researching these other people, I thought it would be, you know, great.
So who's going to read this book? People who listen to your music or people who read your books?
Hopefully both.
Both.
We want both. We want everyone.
And the people who haven't had an opportunity to read his books. We want to make it bigger than life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're living through times where people are very frightened. You know, they're very scared. And the message book is you need to move past that fear because a year or maybe less, this recession is going to be over.
Right.
And are you in a position to seize the moment? And I think it's going to be a new entrepreneurial era. Or are you just waiting on some job?
I think the majority of the companies on the Fortune 500 were actually established during a recession.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's when opportunity presents itself, right?
That's almost the definition of a recession when people are scared. I mean, to me, a recession is when people want to wait and see because they're too scared.
Yes.
And definition of recovery is when people want to do it now because, you know, they fear nothing and they're going to get going.
And so a recession is predominantly for middle class, you know, because where I come from, the majority of those people have always lived in a recession.
That's part of the point of the make that you make in the book, Fear Nothing. Your mother was murdered when you were so young. Yeah. Your story is so, so sad on one level as a child, and yet here you are. Your point, one of your points is, don't let fear get in your way because you can make it.
Well, I've had situations like you just pointed out that were so extreme to me in the earlier point that it makes me go into these situations without fear.
Sure.
You know, because I've already experienced the worst possible scenario.
What else is it?
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that his lack of fear is just the aggression and all that. But when you were talking about the video piracy and all that, he's really open to change and anything that's going on in the world. He just sort of embraces it and moves with it, which to me is sort of the epitome of being fearless.
You know what I'm also struck by? And we talked about this in our production meeting this morning. Back in the day, when the Rolling Stones, for example, to use them as an example, were coming up, you know, they were the rebels, they were the mavericks. As you would portray yourself, that would be your brand as well. But they really shunned business, per se. That would be selling out to be involved in business. Your generation of music performers really embrace business, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, it is a significance to having the ability to be a part of these projects. It's the interest that you generate through the popularity in music will allow you, you know, opportunities to be, you know, the face of actual companies, that major corporations that, like, I've done my own shoe with Reebok. You know, this is something that was completely reserved for professional athletes, you know, prior to myself and Sean Carter, you know.
You watch CNBC, I assume, you're a big stock market investor, right? How's the stock market been treating you, and you're still trying to sell that big property out in Connecticut?
Yeah, I'm still trying to get rid of the elephant. Big white one, you know. You know, real estate would be the safest place to put your money prior to the.
So they told you.
Yeah,
right?
That's what they tell me. I need I need advice.
Get cars.
But I mean, you still got the $100 million from the water deal.
You know,
it's put in the stock market. I hope not.
I live pretty moderate.
Where did he put it?
Not extreme.
He put it into some new venture. He's always reinvesting. He's always got some new hustle up his sleeve.
I ain't scared. That's what the book's about.
He doesn't stay put.
But you also live below your means. It's an important aspect, right?
Yeah,
don't get over-leveraged?
Yeah, I don't want to be overexcited. I have a great opportunity. I have great examples in front of me, presented to me without anyone speaking to me. Every morning I wake up in a home where Mike Tyson previously laid in the bed, and he earned over $500 million in his career. You know,
where
so
is it?
It makes me conscious.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what? You're a great guy. We enjoyed having you. It was a thrill meeting you, and we wish you well with the book and all the other ventures you got coming out as well.
Thank you.
Great to see you. 50 Cent with us today with Robert Greene, co-author of the book, The 50th Law, and that was a lot of fun.
See, that's a form of power called charisma. I write about that in my book. 50 has charisma, even though the host on CNBC talk to billionaires. If anyone saw this, you could see the two hosts from CNBC. They looked like nervous, like just giddy children because of 50 and his presence. You can parlay that into business. Now, I know some people have problems with 50's lyrics or whatever the image he represents. Well, you know, we all got problems. We all are imperfect, need purification. the people who talk right, who are right sounding in terms of rhetoric, activism, political consciousness, don't build a damn thing. So that's my little criticism of you. You don't like 50's lyrics, I don't like your wacktivism. We're even. So let's do what makes sense, unite on what's compatible, and stop arguing on islands with no land. I give 50 a B. Excellent the way he conducted himself. I'm gonna get this book, The 50th Law. I recommend it. You go get it. We can talk about it. Young people need to read things like this, as well as Black and African history and cultural heritage. You need to show young people books like Objective Hate by Star, Troy Star Terrain, Objective Hate, Man Child in the Promised Land, Claude Brown, and books like The 48 Laws of Power and The 50th Law. Send in your comments. Let me give you Jigga, then we'll go to commercial break. Oh, let me just say this, man. It's clear the air on this. I think I came back with an attitude. The reason I talk the way I talk on this show is because I don't really care about pleasing but a few people. That's the honest truth. I could probably count them on one hand, the amount of people I really care about pleasing. But secondly, I'm the number one sponsor on this show. I'm in business. I know you all don't advertise. This is the point I'm making. This is a wonderful show that I have. I love doing it. I thank God each time that I can come before you all. And I'm really honored and humbled that anyone would give me the time of day on archives or in real time to hear what I have to say or to look at my face. But it may not be the pro-Black base, the Muslim foundation that I have that makes this show go places that it will eventually go. It may be the white Slavic males from Alaska. It may be my Latino family on the West Coast. It may be the Jamaicans in Kingston. It may be my African, my tremendously growing African audience. See, I can't be worried about trying to please a vocal group of rhetoricians, because that vocal group doesn't put up no money to support nothing. They don't. I'm not through with you all, but I'm tying my camel. I understand how this works. The mouth and the votes come from the Black people, the big mouths and the votes and the marchers. That's the Black people. The campaign contributions come from somewhere else. The well put together talking point papers come from somewhere else. Until proven otherwise, you are going to have to get your money outside of a community than just the closest one around you. We can debate that. I talk about that in my book. Black Americans do not practice group economics. I prove it in my book. And they say Black people. Shout out to the Jamaicans, the West Africans, Trinidadians. You know what it is. You weren't totally stomped down by slavery. Shout out to the Jews, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Chinese, the Irish, the Italians. You do practice group economics. So I'm very careful about criticizing sincerely motivated people who try to get money from their own people. My heart goes out to you. I feel your pain. I especially feel your pain when your people criticize you but don't do business with you and don't do contributions. I'm the number one sponsor of the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. That's why I talk the way I talk. This is business, not bitterness. I don't want anyone to think I'm bitter, because it's a blessing to see, have the knowledge of yourself, others, those around you. Let me put the camera on me. I'm being dead serious. Some of you, I think, just sincerely don't know how to support. other people know how to support and don't have the means. There's a lot of very sincere people who don't have money. So all they can really do is offer a kind word or a gesture of support or whatever charity they can afford. Their money is just as valuable as somebody else's. I don't believe in charity for business. I believe in business for business. But as I wrote in the piece about Dambisa Moyo, the reason why I don't criticize Dambisa Moyo, the author of Dead Aid, but so much is because I know that you will not be supported by your own people in business when you speak the truth, because your people feel that you should speak the truth out of obligation and duty, and that a mystery God will somehow uphold you. That's why Little Mama had to write an apology to the gay and lesbian, transgender, bisexual community. That's why Jay-Z has to do anti-Semitism commercials for the Jewish community. Yet he can't get the rabbis to do anything for Marcy Projects, because the people who back Jay-Z are not strong enough and they don't demand that. We're going to talk about all of these taboo subjects for the rest of this year when my book comes out. When I was working with the wonderful Cynthia McKinney, and may God be with Cynthia's family. Her aunt died under very tragic circumstances. Some of you may have heard about what happened to Cynthia McKinney's aunt. Very tragic. Cynthia McKinney and I used to talk about this. Cynthia McKinney had her support came from black people in terms of votes, in terms of getting out the vote. It was black soldiers in the street who were passing out the flyers going door to door. The overwhelming majority of Cynthia McKinney's campaign contributions were coming from the immigrant Muslim community. And a lot of Cynthia's ideas, policy-wise, were those that were favored by white progressives. So you have an alignment problem. When you get your money from one place, your votes from another, and the ideas from another, you are in a very vulnerable position. That's why I don't join in when people make fun of Cynthia McKinney and they make mockery of her. She's telling the truth and she's paying a price, because her own people either won't or don't know how to support her. And I saw the people making fun of Cynthia's hairstyle and the way she handled that. It really was out of fear, and it was an excuse to not support her, because you were looking for a reason, because she makes you uncomfortable. It's the same thing with Minister Farrakhan, to a degree. I can't think of, whatever imperfections and problems the Nation of Islam may have as an organization, an institution, a nation, community. To me, there is nothing that Minister Farrakhan has to do to justify every and any black person at least giving him a dollar. Even if the thing didn't go straight the way you wanted it to go, there's just some people who have done enough to me that they warrant the base level of support. I say all of this to say that until we incorporate business in our worldview, our consciousness, our activism, you will never have athletes, entertainers, leaders, politicians who will do what you want them to do for any extended period of time. Also, you will never be able to work on your enemies for any extended period of time. If my book comes out and Don Imus' show wants to book me, I will go on his show. I have a relationship with someone who is over there that used to be at Bloomberg. I've been on Bloomberg before. It's one of the people that's on Bloomberg is now at Fox Business Channel. I'm to hell with you all. I'm telling you right now, I will go on his show. Because pleasing this vocal minority that we have that doesn't do a damn thing to help people in business or in charity is like suicide. I'm not even talking about the sincerely ignorant and poor. Those are my people. If you are sincerely ignorant and poor, I love you. You can even hate on me. But if you have money If you have a big mouth, if you got an 8,000-person email list, you have a platform, and you still not trying to do nothing for yourself, and you going to tell me that I can't do business with a Caucasian or an Asian or a Jewish person who respects what I'm doing and will not ask me to compromise? To hell with you. I was about to stick the... I put my ring finger up. I put my ring finger up for all you New York Mets fans. Philadelphia Phillies have a ring. I'm putting my ring finger up. I'm looking at my ring finger, the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to get fitted for a ring. Thanks to Michael Vick. It's a little hot today. I'm back. I was almost outlined in chalk. They almost put the yellow tape up on your boy. If anyone has a problem with what I'm saying, please express it. Love what 50 Cent is doing. Let me give you a little taste of Jay-Z before we take the break. Let me see if I got a pick of Jigga Man. Yeah, this is the hottest show in the diaspora because I'm the number one sponsor of this damn thing. ain't no secrets. I want Color of Change to support my show. Let me take a break, man. I might say something that might actually get me some advertisement. We'll be right back. A little bit more 50. 50, show them how to do it when you're on the mainstream media. Smooth it out.
How did you guys hook up? How did Robert Greene, you and I talked years ago.
You were my very first interview, and I'll never forget it.
No way. Are you kidding me?
He was so gentle.
You told me you scared him.
No. He was very reassuring.
I did a book. And in fact, you read that book.
Yes.
And you were impressed, and you said, let's do a book together, right?
Absolutely. That 48 Laws of Power, 33 Strategies of War.
Yep.
Art of Seduction.
Yeah.
A lot of people in hip-hop really like the 48 Laws of Power because the music industry has to be perhaps the most Machiavellian environment that there is, and they found the advice very helpful. So 50, he contacted me, and we thought it'd be really interesting to do a book together because we come from such different backgrounds.
That's right. 50 Cent did a book with a white man, and I support it. The hell with you all. I'm going to buy 50's book. Him and the white man.
But we have a sort of a similar way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So this is the monster that we created together.
And I love the 50th law, fear nothing. I see the Latin, nihil timendum est.
Good pronunciation.
I did Latin back then.
So what was the message that you wanted to get out that you felt Robert Greene could help you with?
Thank you all for your comments, asking how I'm doing. I'll show you the imagery later. Your boy outlined in chalk, yellow taped. I don't want anyone to misunderstand my tone. It's not bitterness, it's business. I am convinced that a factor in the rise of oppressed people, historically discriminated people, will be activating a self-enlightened interest in them through business and entrepreneurship and a general understanding of economics. And power. That's why I talk about geopolitics. That's why we talk about Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel, the leader of Germany, Frau Merkler. Merkel. Yeah, you should know who she is. You have a lot to learn about power. That's why I gave a chapter to the subject in my book. How to leverage your charisma, your knowledge, your title, your relationship with subordinates. Your associations, five forms of power in your power base. Book coming out end of September. Let me read your comments before I get to Jay-Z on Bill Maher. A lot of first-time listeners, viewers, thank you for joining me. You all are the most important people in the room. Citizen Kane again. Citizen Kane from New York says, Citizen Kane is a very valued viewer, says, Cedric, stop kissing gay and lesbian asses. F them. You're talking about my support, or salute rather, of GLAAD, the gay, lesbian, I forget what they are, what it stands for. Anthony Muhammad from Ellenwood, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. So glad to be blessed once again with some black coffee. Thank you for always giving me and the rest of the black coffee fam one to grow on. Shout to NY Oil. That's right, one to grow on. Subliminal message, if you caught it. James from Philly, I see you. Thank you for appreciating my hourly intros. Some people just listen for the hourly intros, I hear. Rod Ginyard, Culver City, California. He said, I had no idea you were sick. Young brother Cedric, glad you're back. I'm going to minimize my Facebook profile because I'm one who thinks it's getting out of hand with the minutia. It's also too intrusive and demands more time than I care to lay bare to the public. I have nothing to hide, but I object to the Facebook details being listed when I'm Googled. It's getting to be just too much. And Twitter is out of the question, at least on the personal level. I do think there's some publicity benefits for business purposes. So I'm glad to use it to promote the same. Anyway, I'm glad you're doing well. Yes, I am on Twitter. After I listened to Blueprint 3, I had to leave Jay-Z behind. I'm now on Twitter. I've been tweeting during the show. Gary Holder Winfield from Connecticut. He says, you're teaching too hard. You might hurt somebody. Peace to you, Gary. Everybody, go Google Gary Holder Winfield. You know what time it is. State legislature in Connecticut. Rod from California also adds, he says, Glenn Beck will remain on Fox for the near term. The network will not rein him in as long as the ratings remain stable, if not on the rise. Somehow or other, though, I'm thinking Glenn Beck will self-destruct, much like the Howard Beale of the movie network. He's relatively weak when it comes to his emotions. Regarding Don Imus, he may not make it to the... I can't read this, man. I can't read this, man. Rob from Culver City, California, bringing it too raw to Don Imus. Janine from Hartford, Connecticut says, I hope you feel better, said. Thank you, Janine. Only the women care about me. The brothers have problems showing their emotions. Brian G. Carson, the legendary Brian Carson from Washington, D.C. He says, good show. I'm still around. Starting a class on economics today at the University of Maryland. I cannot get down with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender crowd, but you are right in the way that they wield power. It is crazy. Yeah, if you want a lesson in how the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community wields power, just take a look at U Street, Northwest D.C. LAZAR from Brooklyn wants to know, did I miss the appearance of Chameleon Air on MSNBC? I did. LAZAR from Brooklyn says that Chameleon Air conducted himself very well. Dale Muhammad, Memphis, Tennessee, says, keep the fire coming, Brother Cedric. Allah silences us at times to grant us perspective. Will you be in Memphis for the Day of Atonement? Do you remember the minister asking us to do a boycott as a part of it? Keep the fire of freedom lit, brother. Thank you, Dale. Yeah, what is up? Why is there no boycotts? Why is everything a boycott? Just keep reacting to people. What about a boycott? Like these, like, who's that couple doing the buy black, and they're struggling because they can't find enough black-owned businesses in certain areas? I'm speechless. All right, Jigga Man, Jay-Z on Bill Maher. Let me give you a little taste.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a very special show for you tonight. And to prove it, my first guest is the Grammy-winning, multi-platinum-selling rapper, producer, business mogul, and clothing salesman. And a fragrance. Do you have a fragrance, hey? He's also got a perfume whose reputation as the guy to beat in hip-hop will, I'm sure, be further cemented this September 11th. When his new one, The Blueprint 3, comes out, please welcome Jay-Z!
Thank you. How are you?
Great. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Yeah. Jay-Z! Good job. Cool. People love you. Even women, after all the things you've said in your records, they don't hold it against you. They still love you.
There's a lot of complexities in music.
Is that how you explain it to them?
Yeah, because it doesn't really mean anything.
Well, actually, your music does a lot.
No, no, not music. I meant that line.
So a lot of people, I think, first got interested in rap music when those East Coast, West Coast wars went on. That was when you were starting out. I mean, you were new to the game at that point in the
mid. Pretty much.
What do you remember about that period, and what do you take away from it?
I remember the media, they're mishandled, like everyone blames the media, right?
They should.
The mishandling of it, because the dangers of that situation, because it's not, you got to figure, Biggie and Tupac, they're making records. You know, they're no longer, you know, in the street every single day. But they have friends and they have their crew is still there, and they're ego is being put on the line. So now when you see someone from the rival camp, something had better happen, because now it's everywhere and everyone's looking at you like, you're Tupac's guy, you better say something, you know.
So you think it was media stoked?
Yeah, I think it was something real there in the beginning, but once ego and the flame got fanned.
Don't you all notice that Jay-Z and 50 have changed the tone in their voice, the inflection, when they make mainstream appearances? A lot less threatening.
It became something really violent and something.
But there are a lot of feuds.
Yeah, but that's... Well, hip-hop is based on competition. In the beginning, you know, the DJ was the star. I'm going to take you through a long, maybe too long, history. I'll give you the bridge version. The DJ was the star. The MC was his job was to say how great the DJ was. So you had to be a great enough MC that the DJ would allow you to get on the mic to say how great he was. So, it's true. Yeah. So, what happened is, you know, that competition. So it was born out of artistic competition. But then when people start getting in the business and it start becoming profitable, it start becoming a hustle for some certain people, including myself, and in the beginning. And so now you have that thing. Now it's no longer about just the integrity of how good you can put words together. It's you, when you say that person is whatever you say about them, now you're putting their manhood to the test, and it became something else, something dark.
It did seem contrived, some of the feuds.
Yeah, it became a marketing ploy after a while, and it became comical.
But you've had a lot of feuds. But you seem to get out of them. You know, you seem to get out of them before they get violent.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, you're smart. You are smart, yes. I think everyone would agree with that. And you must be smart because you're almost 40. You're in
December.
And you're in a young man's game, and you're still at the top of that game.
Yeah.
Can you still be a revolutionary when you are rich and when you're, you know, surrounded by security and...
I probably could beat up all the rappers. That helped, Banana. Really.
Still, you mean you think if they took away the security and they took away the money, you could still put on the cape and be Captain Save-A-Ho?
Well... I wouldn't use those words.
Well, you know what I mean. I think what I've done
with my, you know, starting out with my first album is I related to a real emotion, and I put truth in front. And that is, you know, without age, without color, without genre, without anything, you know, whether it be for a young guy aspirational or be for an older guy something that they can relate to. You know, once you draw on a true emotion, I mean, it's entertainment at the end of the day, but once you draw on a true emotion, I think, you know, the integrity of that, you know, will carry you through to now.
You know, Charles Barkley once famously said that he did not want to be a role model. But whether you want it or not, you are a huge role model. I mean, for a guy who is middle-aged, you have enormous...
You talking about me?
Numbers are numbers.
Men lie, women lie, numbers.
Yeah,
don't.
Believe me, I know. But you have enormous credibility with people half your age, which is not, especially in music, that does not happen a lot. or do you take more responsibility?
My responsibility is to the culture. You know, my job is to show it in a great light, so I guess I'm a role model in that way. But as far as the way I live my life, I'm a human being. You know, if I want to, you know, drink champagne one night or smoke weed with you, you know.
But I thought you didn't smoke weed.
I don't, but I was just using that as an example.
Yeah, because you're all about focus.
Yeah.
And you would think that would rob you of focus.
You seem pretty focused.
Well...
You're not high, are you?
No, I have too much respect for you to be high for the interview. I want to talk about your process, because I think people would be interested in how you work. I certainly am. I've been a fan for a long time, since you came out. And what I heard is that you don't use notes when you get on the mic and you record. You're not reading off of anything.
What happened with that was I used to write so much as a kid. I would write tirelessly, like, you know, it was something that I would love to do. So I didn't look at the hours. So I would write all the time. And then when I start, you know, getting further and further away from the house, these ideas and thoughts would come to my mind. You know, typically do during like 3 o'clock, except I wouldn't be in the house, I would be outside. So I have to run in the store and write stuff down, then put it in my pocket and save it till I got back in the house where I could transfer it. And, you know, that builds up your memory. So I start memorizing songs, and then I have one song, and then three songs, and then it just became part of my process when I go in the studio. So it's not something that I do that's off top of the head. I'll listen to the song or the track. I'll listen to the track 1,000 times if it takes, and I'll formulate the song, then I go in the studio and just do it. I never write it down.
Your earlier stuff, you seem to speak a lot faster.
Yeah.
You know, you seem to be trying to get a lot more words in. Seems like maybe later on you found out that less is more.
I just had so much to say. I had so many different emotions that were going on with me, and I wanted to say it all. And I believed that I was making one album. So I got like 100 fake retirement. It's not funny, man.
And you have talked about retirement before.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because when people can do something so well, they're never really going to retire. I mean, Michael Jordan retired, and he went, oh, what the fuck am I doing? I'm great at this.
Right.
I should do it until they drag me off, and they did.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was a fat right. jump shooter for the Washington Wizards at the end. Well, he was. But what you do, right. you could do until you're 100.
Yeah, because you doesn't require your knees.
You don't even have to say.
For some of us.
Right.
Jay-Z on Bill Maher just gave you a little taste. It's one of my favorite joints off the new Blueprint 3. Star is Born. Headed into hour number 3. Hottest show in the diaspora.
Seen Ye do it, X came through, caught lighter fluid, still I came through it. Platform, but I'm the blueprint, I'm like the map form. I dropped another classic, made Puff pass it. Nobody could touch Puff back when Puff had it. Wayne scorching, I'll applaud him if he keep going. Pass the torch to him, 50 came through, like hurricanes do. I thought I finished this after Summer Jam 2. I had the Illmatic on bootleg. So I had, so we was all dead. Wayne to the millie, 50 to the millie. Ye too, but with envy was silly. The white boy blossom, after Dre and Dawson. It's flown renegade, awesome, applaud him. And you say New York City, platform.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Platform, platform, platform. Hey, Snoop Dogg did, Nelly came down. Face Mark kept the kettle for the H-Town. Luda moved digits after he moved. Drake's up next, see what he do with it. Rue had a run, couple movie parts. T.I. literally wanted to shoot up the charts. What up, GZ? What it do? Y'all remind me of us in early 92. Outcast landed, 3,000 ill. Like a male version of Lon Hill. Mar B shook it, but Prodigy took it. A little too far, Kent with Brooklyn. Wu-Tang gangbang, Meth 8. Ray took on a date with the purple tape. Passed on to Ace on it, then Ghostface. They had a hell of a run, standing ovate.
Hey. To the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Platform, 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 hey.
Everything is
Platform, platform, platform.
been before a star was born. Platform, he was moving that corner to fist corner, office so enormous. Hey, Press Carter, watching to get a moniker on all day. Hey, got so many different monikers, but only one Jay. They come, they go, some real, some foe, some friends, some, but no, I goes nowhere, this hole.
You are tuned in to the Watchman, Shedrick Mohammed, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Platform, platform, hey.
A star, the same in this game, have to change who you are, or could I be the same one who came from a faraway life just to make it in these Broadway lights, now I'm shining in the broad day light, go figure, a slow transition from a little broke, from the bill, got a deal, a real life saver, dreams of being behind the wheel like Jada, I chill now, cop a little ice later, cold, you got the glow like a little lightsaber, so platform, then applaud hold, we gave him the platform, flow so sick, thought he wrote the rap form, no sir, the flow cold as the shoulders of gold digger, when a broke approach. Told you I'm focused, man. I let you soak it in. Platform. Yeah, hey, hey, platform.
Can you say
hey,
hey, hey,
platform. I'm here now. Vietnam.
Platform.
Platform. Yeah, J. Cole.
Star is Born off the new Blueprint 3. We'll review that. Whitney Houston as well. Raekwon next week. First 2 hours, almost in the can, September 9th, 2009. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Let me know what you think of Jay-Z's appearance on Bill Maher. I thought he was witty. Self-deprecating humor. Even came off a little nervous. I think there's a lot that Jay and 50 have to offer the entire culture and the generation in terms of leadership. Hopefully Jay-Z and 50 will be able to do what the conscious artists were not. This may be a sore subject with some, but to me, Chuck D, KRS-One, all these other artists, they should be mentors. But they did not and do not have institutions. They don't have management companies, record labels, agencies that could shepherd these young people. I suspect Jay-Z and 50 and I guess T.I., when they're done, even though they may not have the outward rhetoric of a revolutionary or politically conscious artist, I think they'll do a better job of building something that the next generation of young people can get involved with. The rhetoric is nice, and words, without them you have nothing. You have no creative force without words, but sooner or later you have to build institutions. That's the value of many of the artists that may not be seen as conscious. To me, they have a form of consciousness that the others lack. We'll be right back. Hour number three. Send your comments and I'll read them all. I'm on twitter.com/CedricMuhammad. Tweet something.
Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Now, people have told me that in the business, you've got the best flow. My problem is I don't know what that means.
I say, like if you have, here's a melody, dun, 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 dun. Me, I'll rhyme like, ha, la, sa, ra, ba, 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 ba. So I'm so in sync with the beat. Like, when the music's going, boom, 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 I'm going, pa, da, 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 ba, da, da, with words, though. Rap close and da 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 songs and da 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 Jay. See?
That's flow.
Yeah. It's flow.
That's pretty intricate, you know?
That's a great word, intricate. Yeah.
Are you the best?
I think every rapper should feel like that they're the best.
Okay, that's what you feel, but can anyone else do this the way you do it?
I haven't heard no one do that.
The most eclectic audience on radio, only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program. Cedric Muhammad.
Now, people have told me that in the business you've got the best flow. My problem is I don't know what that means.
Don't lie.
knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Only on the Shedrick Muhammad and Black Coffee program. Shedrick Muhammad.
I'm Andrew Lee. I'm from Region 5, from Atlanta. Right now I live in D.C. And my question is, how can we hold the Obama administration accountable? We're all very excited about the first election of our first African-American president, President Obama. But he's our president, not our homie. And what strategies do you guys have for us to hold him accountable? I mean, right now we have unparalleled levels of spending going on right now, bailout after bailout, Wall Street people who got us into this mess in the first place. So I know it's a big issue to tackle, but what resources do you guys have or insights into how we can be more effective in our communities in making sure that our voices are heard at the table, from the stimulus package on to like how this is going to fix the economy now with jobs for us? I mean, any strategies or thoughts?
I just have one really quick point, and it was touched on earlier, but I work in a congressional office, as I mentioned.
I do, too.
I thought you looked familiar. I work in a congressional office. You understand. You understand how it is. Members of Congress respond to their constituents. Okay? Now, we all sort of pick up the phone when it rings, if we're not busy. I hear who's on the phone, okay? And I have to say, it's oftentimes not us, okay? So are you calling your member of Congress? Are you writing letters? You know, these things are paid attention to. And they do, absolutely. They are paid attention to. And it's not just, it's not just the Congressional Black Caucus that has to respond to you. Because chances are you don't even live in a Congressional Black Caucus member's district. I don't care who your member of Congress is. You let your voice be heard. You call. You organize. Have a group of people call. Call every day. Send letters. You know, there's the power of one, okay? But by joining with one more, we can really make our voices heard. We don't use this enough in our community, and I think it's because we generally don't know the process. But we have to make our voices heard, and regardless of what the issue is, on the stimulus, on, you know, whatever, global issues, domestic issues, make your voice heard. Thank you.
September 9th, 2009, that was Noel, I think it's Lucene. I know Noel, I haven't seen her in years. She's staff director for the Africa Global and Health Subcommittee in the office of Congressman Donald Payne, Newark, New Jersey. Making a hell of a point about the language of power. Let me read a couple comments. One of them gets to what I was alluding to earlier. Shane from Houston caught something in what Bill Maher said to Jay-Z. Shane writes, "I got too much respect for you to be high during this interview." That's Bill Maher to Jay-Z. And Shane adds, "Maybe that is what the person in you complex needs to understand, Cedric." I'm not sure what that means. Explain that last part, Shane. Yeah, but Jay-Z commands respect from Bill Maher because of what he's accomplished, his charisma, etc. He's a fan of his music. Glenn Williams from Philly adds another powerful point. He says, "Peace said, I can't help but think that in our struggle for equality, business was seen." Listen carefully to this. Glenn says, "I can't help but think that in our struggle for equality, business was seen as something that was part of the establishment. So much so that it seems that business and economics are seen as being antithetical to the movement, quote-unquote movement. There often seems to be more honor in doing something for no money rather than generating money and reaching the community." I have three immediate thoughts that come to mind about what Glenn is saying that contribute to this mindset on business.